The following is a class on the Bhagavad Gita as it is, second chapter, text number 55, given by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, recorded in the summer of 1966 in New York.
Prajahati jada kaman sarvan parth manogatan atmani eva atmana tushya sita pragya sadhuchat. Now, for the last few days, we are discussing the symptoms of the person who is situated on the platform of pure conscience. So, we should remember that this is spoken as the basis or when we attain the stage of perfection, the symptoms. It is not that we have already attained that perfection. Of course, some of you might have attained that perfection, but how to attain that perfection, that will be described in the third chapter. We are reading the second chapter. We are just giving the contents, how it will be. We have discussed to some extent and we are still proceeding. So, the Lord says, the kaman sarvan partho manogata, the mental speculation. So long we are on the platform of mental speculation, we should understand that we are on the material plane. Because mind is material. Mind is not spiritual. So, manogata, this special word is used here, manogata. Whatever we create in our mind, that is material. All creation, mind is the leader of the senses. So, the activities of the mind, thinking, feeling and willing, are expressed through our senses. And these sensual activities are known as our living conditions. Therefore, the Lord says, when one shall be free from mental speculation, then he is to be understood that he is in the perfect stage of spiritual consciousness. Mental speculation. So, by mental speculation, we cannot understand what is our position. Generally, people, they indulge in mental speculation. Different philosophy of the world, they are established on the principle of mental speculation. Especially in Europe, Aristotle, Schopenhauer, Kant, they are more or less imitating the Western philosophers. In India also, recently, persons who are very well known, perhaps you know, Sri Aurobindo. So he also speculated very nicely on the mental platform. Mental platform cannot give us the actual freedom or the happiness. That's what Lord says. One should give up all mental speculation and should be satisfied in the understanding that I am consciousness and there is supreme consciousness and I am subordinate to the supreme consciousness. Therefore, let me dovetail my consciousness with the supreme consciousness. Last year also we discussed on this point. And the point is very clearly manifested in the teachings of the Bhagavad Gita that Arjuna mentally speculated in the beginning that whether I should take up this fighting or not. But at the ultimate issue, he gave up his mental speculation and agreed with the Lord that yes, I shall fight. Now this yes, I shall fight, this I and the former I shall not fight. So there is vast difference. The former I is the representative of mental speculation. When Arjuna decided that I shall not fight, they are my relatives, they are my brothers, I cannot fight with them for the matter of kingdom, rather I shall forego, I shall become a beggar. I don't want this kingdom. He argued like that. But after reading Bhagavad Gita, he said that my illusion is now removed. Nasto moha sriti labhya. My illusion is now removed and I have got my consciousness. By your mercy. By your mercy. So, here is the point that without Lord's mercy, we cannot stand up on the pure consciousness platform. Therefore, we have to pray to the Supreme Lord always. That is the instruction of Lord Chaitanya. He has put up his prayer. I have got this paper. I will distribute it to you after the meeting is over. That he says, my dear Lord, Krishna, somehow or other, I am fallen into this ocean of misunderstanding. Ocean of misunderstanding. The prayer is just like this. I utter the whole Sanskrit structure. Oi nanna tanuja patitam kinkaramam visame bhavam budhau kripaya tapapada pankajasthita dhulisarisam vichinta. He's addressing the Lord. Oh Lord, the son of Nanda Maharaj. This Nanda Maharaj, son of Nanda Maharaj, it is very significant. I shall describe it later on. Oh, my Lord, the son of Nanda Maharaj, I am your eternal servitor and somehow or other I have now fallen in this ocean of misconception. Kindly pick me up and fix me up as one of the atoms of the dust of your lotus feet. That is the prayer. So, we should be conscious in this way that I am your eternal servitor. I am not the Lord. As soon as we make mistake that I am the Lord, I am the Supreme, then this illusory energy entraps us. This is also illusion. This is the last snare of illusory energy, that I am God. It is a long philosophy. Of course, there is a class of philosophers who proclaim that I am God. I am God. This is, of course, due to imperfect knowledge of the Supreme Lord, that people can claim that I am God. How can I be God? What is the qualification of God? What are the symptoms of God? Are those symptoms present in me? So these things are, there are so many things to be considered, and they are very nicely described in the Srimad Bhagavatam and Srimad Bhagavad Gita, and as we make progress, we shall understand them, that we are simply infinitesimal parts of the Supreme Lord. Qualitatively, we have got all the qualities of God. But quantitatively, we are minute. Simply minute. Yesterday, there is gold and a particle of gold. That particle of gold is also gold. But that particle of gold and the lump gold, quantitatively, there is difference. Just like fire and the spark of the fire. The spark of the fire is also fire. But the capacity, burning capacity of the spark is very small in comparison to the whole fire. These are the positions. Now, we should always understand that we are meant for serving the Supreme Whole. That is our position. So this position maintaining and mental speculation that I am the Lord by argument, by jugglery of words, the Lord says, Krishna says, we should give up all these things. Manogata. Manogata. There is another instruction in the Srimad Bhagavatam that harava bhaktasya kuto mahadguna manorathena asato dhavato bahi. Jashasti bhakti bhagavata kinchana sarvai gunai tatra samasati sura. If one is situated in pure devotional service of the Lord, then whatever he may be, all the good qualities of the Lord will develop in him. Will develop. All the good qualities. And harava bhaktasya kuto mahadguna. And one who is not the devotee of the Lord, however academically he may be educated, his qualification has no value. Why? The manorathena, because he is on the platform of mental speculation. And due to his mental speculation, he is sure to be influenced by this material nature. He's sure to. So if we want to be free from the influence of the material nature, then our habit of mental speculation may be given up. That is the instruction in this verse. Then next qualification, dukkheshu anudvigna mana, sukheshu vigataspriha, vitarāga bhayakrodha sitadhi munirucyate. Now, so long we have got this material body, we have several times discussed this point, that all our miseries, distresses, are due to this body. There are three kinds of distresses. Adhyatmik, adhibhautik and adhidaivik. Distresses due to this body and mind. Distresses due to the other living entities. And distresses which is beyond our power. Distresses, natural distresses. Adhidaivik. Distresses offered by the supernatural power. So three kinds of distresses we are suffering. Always. There is no, rescue either from the three or at least from one or two. There is all it is going on. So, one who is situated in this pure consciousness platform, his symptoms will be like this, the dukkheshu anudvigna manaha. He is not disturbed by all these three kinds of miseries. Misery is pertaining to the body and the mind, misery due to other living entities, and misery is due to the natural disturbances. Natural disturbance. Now, nature's disturbance, all of a sudden there is flood, all of a sudden there is heavy snowfall, All of a sudden there is semi. All of a sudden there is so many things which we have no control. We have no control. This is called supernatural disturbances. And disturbances offered by other living entities. We are living in the society with many other living entities, both man and animal, and there is possibility of miseries due to other living entities' behavior upon me. And besides that, due to my this bodily construction, either I have some mental agony or some bodily agony or so many things. So, a person who is situated on the platform of pure consciousness, he is not disturbed by all these miseries. That is the truth. He is not disturbed. When we are situated in pure consciousness platform, we will personally understand that I am not disturbed by all these miseries. People become very much disturbed, agitated. But one who is actually situated in this position of pure consciousness, Brahma Bhuta Prasannatma Nasutati Nakankati, he has no distress. He has no distress. And Sukheshu Vigata Spriya, this is the platform of distress. And there are sometimes happiness also. Happiness also. Sometimes, suppose I get some good food star, somebody praises me, Swamiji, you are very good soul, and so on, so on. That praising, sometimes we are offered some, decorations, some degrees of praises from institutions. These are the signs of our happiness. But one who is situated in pure consciousness, he is neither disturbed by all those distresses, neither he is actually happy by all these designated offerings. Because he knows that these designations, suppose I have passed my MA examination, and in the university, in the convocation meeting, I get the degree and people applauses me. But if one is situated in consciousness, he will understand, what is this degree? This degree is due to my this body. As soon as this body finishes, all this degree will finish. Because if it is a fact that Bhakamsijinnani Thabihaya, if I have to take another body after leaving this body, then everything in bodily connection will finish as soon as I give up this body and take another body. That is my position. Therefore, one he is convinced, one he knows actually that I am not this body, I am pure consciousness. So, these degrees or some good palatable foodstuff I have been offered by some friend. I am eating. I am thinking, how happy I am. Sir, what is that happiness? That happiness is due to my tongue only. But I am not this tongue. These things are will appear when he is purely conscious. But that does not mean that I shall not eat or I shall not associate in the society. No. I shall be. Everything I shall be. But I must always know that I am aloof from this. My position is that I am subordinate to the Supreme Consciousness and I have to act in that position. So in spite of all this, he is aloof from all this. That will make him completely happy. Vitarāga bhayakrodha sitadhi muni uchyate. And because such consciousness prevails, so he has neither attachment, rāga. Rāga means attachment. And bhaya. Bhaya means fear, being afraid. Now suppose somebody says, I shall kill you. I shall kill you. Somebody becomes very much afraid. But a person who is situated in pure consciousness, he is not afraid. We have got very practical example in the life of the great philosopher Socrates. He believed in the immortality of the soul, and he was offered hemlock poison, that if you believe in immortality of the soul, then you drink this poison. Yes, yeah, he shall drink it. So he drank it, and his body, of course, stopped functioning because poison will act. But he was not afraid of drinking poison, because he was completely situated in that platform. So there is no fear. So long bodily conception of life is there, so fearfulness will be always there, in proportion. As much I get rid of this bodily conception of life, then my fearfulness also decreases. And so long I am absorbed in bodily conception of life, my fearfulness is greater. The vitarāga bhayakrodha. Because the function of the body, so far we are body, our body is concerned, there are four things, demands of the body. Ahara nidra bhaya maithun. Ahara means eating, and nidra means sleeping, and bhaya means fearing, and maithun means mating. So these are the demands of the body. So one who is free from the conception of body, his demands, his ahara, his nidra, or his eating, his sleeping, his fear, and his sex desire will automatically decrease. That is the situation of pure consciousness. Vitarāga bhayakrodha sitadhi muniruccate. Sitadhi muniruccate. Even he is not affected by the greatest allurement. Let us tell you. The next position is jasarvatra anahisneha tattat prapa subha subham nabhi nannanti na deshti tasa pragna pratisthita. Now, our affection between ourselves is due to this body. Now, I am Indian. Suppose I find some gentleman in the street of New York, an Indian. Oh, I am very much anxious to ask him, oh, are you Indian? Which province you are coming? I want to. The affection is there. What is that affection? Due to this body. That's all. Because I am thinking that my body is Indian, and here there is another body whose body is also Indian. Oh, let me have some talks with you. This is affection. Similarly, all our affections, there are thousands and millions of women loitering in the streets, but there is one woman with whom I am very much intimately connected because I have got bodily relations. Leaving aside all the women, I call one particular one, she is my wife. Or the wife says, she is my husband. Why? This body. So this body, one who does not identify with this body, therefore his bodily affection also diminishes. His bodily affection also diminishes. Now the stage of sannyas, just like we have adopted, this is a practical example. How much one has been able to become free from bodily affection. This is a chance. This is a chance given. Just like at home, I have my wife, I have my children, I have my grandchildren, everyone. I have my daughters and everyone. But somehow or other, I have thought that what is this relation? Therefore, I have been able to live aloof from this body relatives. And actually, in this old age, one should desire to live within the family with wife, with children, and there are so many comforts. But no. This should be the development of one's consciousness is that he should voluntarily try to, become free from this affection. Why? This affection is not bad, but this affection will lead me again to have another body. And my whole process is that how to get out of this bodily relation, janma mrityu jara bhayo. The whole human activity should be concentrated to get rid of this bodily, material bodily connection. Then I shall be happy. Real happiness, real freedom. That is real freedom. For want of this spiritual knowledge, we do not know how much free we are. Even in this material world, within this universe, in the upper planets, they are called heaven, earth, and of course in Vedic language it is called heaven, and in other languages it is called heaven. But there are many planets. Beyond the heaven there are many good planets. There are seven planetary systems. This is called Bhulok. Then above this there is Bhugollok. Then there is Sargalok. Then there is Tapolok. Then there is Mahalok. Then there is Sattalok. Just like so many planetary systems there are. There is one planetary system that is called Siddhalok. Even in this material world, with this material body, they are so perfect that here you go from one place to another or one planet to another. Of course, that is not naturally successful. But it is not very difficult for living being to achieve that success. Because we have got information in the Bhagavad that in the Siddha law, the inhabitants there, with this very body, they go from one planet to another. Without any instrument. Without any Sputnik, without any aeroplane, or without anything. Yes. We have got this information. They take pleasure in the sky. Just like sometimes we stroll in open field, similarly they take pleasure by in the sky traveling, you see. So that is possible. But still, they are mortal. They are mortal. They have got this material body. Now, when you get spiritual body, how much freedom you will have? So, we should be very clever to understand about the spiritual life. We should not be dragged to this material conception of life due to this false affection. This bodily affection is false affection. Because the body will not exist. Suppose I and my wife or my children, we are all very happy. Paschannapi na paschati. Tasya nidhanam brahmatya paschannapi na paschati. It is said in the Bhagavad. Now, for example, suppose if you are preparing very nice thing, very nice house, all right. If somebody asks you, well sir, why you are building such nice house? Now, if you answer, yes, just to set fire in it. So what the people will think, what a fool he is, that he is building such a nice house and at the end he will set fire in it. Then why you are taking so much trouble, sir? No? Yes? This is called, actually our position is like this. Because the whole life I am working so hard because for maintaining this temporary body of myself, my son, my daughter, my father, my mother. So setting fire. At the end, they're setting fire. Setting fire, I'm speaking specially because after death, as you put it into graveyard, in India, in Hindus, they set fire. They set fire to the dead body. So, every thing that we have created, that will be at the end, it will be set into fire. The Bhagavad says that pasannapi napasya, tasya nidhanam, everything will be destroyed. And still, the thing which will be destroyed, we are after them. But the thing which will exist, nahannate hannamane sarire, which will continue to exist even after the destruction of this body, we have no information. We have no information. Neither do we try anything for that thing. The Bhagavad Gita's teaching is sublime because it gives you the practical lesson for the Supreme, your spirit soul. Material education, material advancement, civilization is just like building for setting fire in it. It will be lost. It will be lost. So many empires have been built up and so many empires have been demolished. That is the history of the world. Even from that history point of view, this very world in which we are standing, this very platform, this will also be vanquished. That is the law of this material nature. Nothing will subsist, nothing will continue. Everything will be finished. That's like, oh, this body will be finished. Now I've got this beautiful body. Suppose 70 years, my age, 70 years before, the body had no existence, and say after 5 or 10 years more, the body will have no existence. So for 70 or 80 years, this manifestation of the body, so what is this manifestation in the course of this material world? So many things coming, just like a bubble in the ocean. Just like if you have trouble over the sea, you will find so many waves are tossing each other and so many bubbles are formed, and again it is submerged in the water, no account of it. Similarly, all these manifestations are coming and going and coming and going. And that within this coming and going, there is the actual spirit soul which nahannate hannamane sarir, which exists. And we are that permanent existence. We are that permanent form. Not that we are formless. We have got form, but it is very minute. We cannot see with these eyes. Our eyes are always imperfect. What we can see? We cannot see very, which is situated in a very long distant place. We cannot see even our eyelid. So these eyes are very conditional. So how we can see? What is our, what is my constitution? These things have to be considered. One should take account of the spiritual. Now, begins from that consciousness. That what I am this consciousness. I am not this body. That education begins from there. And whole practice, whole idea should be to detach myself from this misconception of life. So one of the symptoms is that just sarvatra anavisneha tattat prapa subhasumam na abhinandanti na vesti tasa praga pratishtita. Now, abhinandanti. Now suppose one has done very marvelous work. So we should not be very much enthusiastic to praise for such one. But what is that work? That work is material, it will vanish. Nabhinandanti. Neither when it is vanished, he is also sorry for that. These symptoms are for a person who is situated in the pure consciousness platform. Tasya pragya pratishthita. He is pragya, his intelligence. Mind that. Intelligence is above the mind. The first stage is, the general stage of our life is the activities of the senses. Those who are ordinary persons, without any knowledge, they are acting whole day and night to satisfy the senses, that's all. This is ordinary life. Mostly people are working for that purpose. Mostly. And above them, if somebody is intelligent, he is working on the mind. Philosophy, poetry, nice idea in novel, nice idea in drama, some psychological, all these things. So they are little better than those who are working their night hard for sense gratification. They are little, these philosophers, the poets, and the thinkers, they are little more better. So, Indrani Prarahu, Indriyava Parahmana. So, Manasastu Para Buddhi. And among them, those who are acting very intelligently on the laws of the nature, say for the scientists, are like that. Manasastu Para Buddhi. And that stage, that scientific stage, the scientific calculation is the stage of this appreciation of consciousness. The perfection of scientific life. Science, scientists are making research. What is the truth beyond this? When they come to the point of this pure consciousness, that is the highest grade of scientific knowledge. Highest grade of scientific knowledge is that when we come to understand that I am not this body, I am this consciousness. So far our the senses are concerned. That should be under my control. I should not be servant of my senses. And that is possible when I am situated in the spiritual platform of consciousness. Otherwise it is not possible. I cannot control my senses if I am on the material plane. It is impossible. But I can control my senses. But this is possible. This is possible. It is not impossible fact. The Swami, we are known as Swami. What is the meaning of Swami? Swami means who is the master of the senses. That is the Swami. Swami means master. One who has attained the perfectional stage of controlling the senses, he is called Swami or Goswami, master of the senses. So this can be done by practice, by knowledge. This is not impossible. I was also a young man. I was also married. I have got my wife still living and my family is still living. But somewhere or other, by practicing or by some knowledge, I have come out of the clutches. So everyone can have that. Not this dress is not the Swami. Actually, you can also be Swami even in your the present dress. The dress is immaterial. The actual fact is that one should, by spiritual development of consciousness, they should come to the stage of becoming the master of the senses. Master, the yoga. The yoga system, that is also controlling the senses. That is controlling the different asanas, different situation of the body. That is mechanical. Something is done by mechanically and something is done by pure knowledge. So Bhagavad Gita teaches on the platform of pure knowledge. Of course, that is also recommended. But that is recommended for persons who cannot concentrate on the platform of the knowledge. Those who are too much addicted with bodily conception of life, the yoga system, the yoga and practices, that is recommended especially for them. That we shall come later on. Now, here it is said, Yada sangharate chayam kurma angani va sarvasaha indriyani nyathibhya stasa prajna pratishtita. Stasa prajna pratishtita. No. Yes, a very good example is given here. What is that? Tortoise. You have seen tortoise? The tortoise, and when they like, they close their hands and mouth and everything within this body and become a lump. Tortoise, you see? Similarly, we must know that our senses, they are meant for some particular purpose. And that particular purpose, I have already explained, that Rishikena Rishikesa Sevanam Bhakti Rishyate. These senses are actually, they are not mine. These senses are given by the Lord. Lastly I explained. But we are very proud of our senses. But these senses are given just like a boy is given some plaything by the father. Similarly, we wanted to enjoy this material world. Therefore, our material senses are awarded all I can enjoy. You just have experience of this material world. And when you get experience that I am not happy, then you shall come back again to me. So senses are actually meant for rendering service to the Lord. Senses. Because I am eternally. Eternal. And senses. The senses belong to the Supreme Lord. Just like this is my spectacle. So it should be used for my purpose. Similarly, our senses, actually, they are not ours. Just like this room, this loft, we are sitting, it is all right. But the loft belongs to some lady, some landlady. We should be always conscious of that. There is no harm using it so long with that consciousness. But if I think, oh, this is my loft, I haven't got to pay the rent, I am the proprietor, then whole trouble begins. Whole trouble begins. Otherwise, so long we are conscious that I have rented out this law for my use, that's all right, but I am not the proprietor. Similarly, the whole thing, the whole world, the Isha Upanishad, it teaches us, Isha Vasamidam Sadvam, nothing belongs to you. Everything belongs to God. Everything belongs to God. There is a story that God loves when two parties fight for the land. Actually, you have seen in India when there was partition day, the Hindu-Muslim fought, and when both of them died and lied on the street and strewn all over the street and asked them, now whose land it is? No, nobody replied. The God's land will remain here. And we simply find that this is my land, this is my land. You see? These are all these, paraphernalia of our illusion. So here, God says, Jada sangharati chayam kurmanga nivo sarvas. Just like the tortoise closes his senses according to his wish. Similarly, the person who is able to use his senses according to his own control, he is to be understood that he is situated in the spiritual platform. Use of the senses is not bad, but one should use when it is needed, not according to the dictation of the senses. You will find here, in the Bhagavad Gita, later on, that God says that sex intercourse for generating a child is my sense. the God says, I am. But beyond that, sexual intercourse is, the Lord says, I have nothing to do with that. So in every way, He does not prohibit that we should not use our senses. No, we shall use our senses when it is required, not according to the dictation of the senses. That should we should be in that platform. If I am following the dictation of my senses, then I am not the master of the senses. I am the servant of the senses. So actually, our position is like that, because we have forgotten our real master, the Supreme Lord. By illusory energy, we have been put to be servants of the senses. Instead of becoming servant of the Supreme, we have become the servant of the senses. The whole material life is nothing but servant of senses. Servant of senses. The whole people are working whole day hard. So then Bhagavat has diagnosed why they are so much enthusiastic in working so hard. The only impetus is that they will have some sex enjoyment. That's all. That is the end of all activities. The whole world is not only human being. He'll find in the kingdom of the birds, in the beasts, that everyone is working, everyone is busy. Why? To end it into the sex life. That means, in this material consciousness of her life, everyone has become the servant of the senses. And in the spiritual consciousness of her life, he no longer be the servant of the senses, but he'll be the master of the senses. That is the difference. And by becoming the master of the senses, how it is the senses are used? Just like the kurma, the tortoise. The tortoise, and whenever he likes that, now I shall manifest my senses. Yes, he manifests it. And whenever he likes, according to his own. The very example, nature, this is called nature study. We have to study from so many things, from lower animals. So here the very good example is set here with that jada sanghate chayam kurma anganiva sarvasa. Just like the tortoise is practiced to wound up his senses within his body according to his will. Similarly, Similarly, when we should use the senses and what purpose, comes to understand this, then he is situated in spiritual consciousness. Now just take the same example of Arjuna. Now Arjuna says that I will not fight with my relatives and brothers for the sake of achieving some kingdom. No. Now, for the ordinary man, it appears to be, Arjuna is a very nice man, non-violent. He is giving up everything for the sake of his relatives. Oh, what a nice man he is. This is ordinary calculation. But what Krishna says, you are fool, damn fool number one. And that we have already discussed. Asachyanan sotastam prajnavadhan subhasate. My dear Arjuna, you are talking like a very learned man, but you are number fool one. Yes. This is the, reward, gift. You are declining to fight. This is your nonsense. Now just see, the things which are estimated in the public eye, very nice, very good, that is condemned by God. We have got so many examples and experiences like that. What is eulogized by some of our friends, it is condemned by others. The whole thing, our perfection of any act, that should be certified by the Supreme Lord. Dhamma sanusitasya pungsa. Sanusitasya dhammasya sanasiddhi haritosana. Haritosana. We have to see whether the Supreme Consciousness is pleased with my this action. So Arjuna's action was not approved. Not approved by Lord Krishna. But the same Arjuna, he fought at the last, after hearing the instruction of Bhagavad Gita, he engaged himself in the fight. Now here the senses, in the fighting, we require to use our senses. Now, when the senses were withdrawn, when the sense satisfaction was, the Arjuna's statement that I shall not fight, that was his sense satisfaction. Because he was thinking in bodily relation, therefore that sort of thinking that I shall not fight, this mental state was his sense satisfaction. But here, when he agreed to fight, that was not his sense satisfaction, that was the satisfaction of the Lord. Therefore, we have to purify our senses, not to use it for my satisfaction, but to use it for the satisfaction of the Supreme. That's all. That is our perfection. You are not devoid of the senses. Not that after being situated in spiritual consciousness, your senses become null and void. No. Senses cannot be null and void. Because life means senses. Without senses, there is no life. But this is the process of purification of the senses. That's all. Now, there is another example. In India, there were, why India in this world, as in the, within the, our memory, there are two great wars. World War number one, World War number two, we have experienced. Some of you or many of you have not experienced what is the world number one. In 1914 it was started. And I think none of you were born in 1914. So as I was a child at that time, the war was declared in 1914. So beyond these two world wars, there are another two great world wars that is mentioned in the history of the epics of India, Ramayana and Mahabharata. The war between Rama and Ravana, and the war between the two cousin brothers, Kurus and Pandava. But you'll be surprised, in these two wars, God is the hero, practically. In the war between Rama and Ravana, Rama is also the personality of God as incarnation. And Krishna is also present. In two wars, the God is present. God is present. You see? And Hanuman, for the sake of pleasing the Lord, he set fire to the emperor of Ravana. To the empire of the Ravana. And here also you find that Arjuna, he fought for the sake of the Supreme Lord Krishna. So fighting is not bad, provided it is fought for pleasing the Supreme Lord. And fighting is also necessary sometimes. We cannot make the world non-violent. Everything will be made. In the laws of nature, everything will be made. The sex life will remain, the fighting will remain, and whatever we are seeing in our experience, everything will remain. We continue to remain. You cannot abolish a drop of it. But the whole process is that we have to purify.